My co-host this morning is Dr. Raymond Hamdan, clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. Should you want to make contact with Dr. Raymond this morning if you're looking for some advice regarding your relationships or maybe some personal issues regarding your behaviour, mood swings, depression even. These are all things that Dr. Raymond can help you with. Anxiety also. And happy 4th of July, Independence Day for all our American listeners.
It is. It's been since 1776.
Gosh, can you remember that?
I was just a young boy. I hadn't started school yet, but I remember going to some tea party in Boston or something like that.
So lots of celebrations happening across the globe for the 4th of July.
But yes, of course, the American community here is going to be celebrating
for sure.
Tonight.
Yeah, yeah. But some terrible weather, though, isn't there, in America at the moment? Some really bad storms have been happening, so wish everybody well.
Yeah, it seems like the weather changes all over the world these days, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I think you were telling me about some icy rain in England.
Yes, so I gather.
Goodness gracious.
I gather the heating's back on in the homes of England at the moment, which is a bit daunting as I'm travelling that way in a couple of weeks' time. Anyway, so back to business, Dr. Raymond. And yes, you know the text number 4001. Now, we're talking about tempers and leading into communication and communicating effectively. And one person's texted a couple of times this morning, actually, talking about their form of communication to their friends and saying that when they were disappointed in their friend's behaviour, they wanted to communicate that to them, which they did so, they thought, in a calm, reasonable manner. And yet the reaction from the friends was just anger and, you know, ignoring them, and wasn't the reaction they expected. So where did they go wrong is what they're asking.
I'm not sure that they did go wrong. I think they were being very honest with the relationship as they perceive it. The other person may also have been very honest with the relationship as they perceive it. People perceive things different ways. So some people believe that a relationship of friendship can be very much an open, honest relationship where you say things about how you're feeling, thinking, behaving, what your aims, your goals are, what your disappointments are, what your concerns are. Some people can't handle that very well, and they don't want to deal with the negatives. Again, it may not be your fault. It might be their own history that has taught them it's better to ignore, to deny those kinds of negative things, because my experience in life is that it always will turn out wronger or worser, or make up those words that I'm just now doing.
Yes. Is that in the English vocabulary?
It's
an American English. Is it? I don't know.
It's Independence Day. Don't blame Americans for that. We'll do that tomorrow. But the thing is that people do grow up with various kinds of ideas and attitudes towards situations, and those attitudes will influence their behavior. Again, many times we do take these things personally when we shouldn't. It might be that just that person doesn't want to have to deal with negatives. And even though for you it might not be a negative, respecting that that person will not understand your good intentions may then ask you to look at how you're going to address these situations, or even not address the situations, to maintain a relationship.
You've done the best you can. You've played your part. You've served yourself well in that you have, with all good intentions, felt that you've approached that other person in a rational, calm way. And then that's it. As you always say, Dr. Raymond, you can't control what other people think or do. So it's up to them how they respond to that. Although that might be very disappointing to think that it may affect the friendship or it may even break the friendship, you have to say, well, I've done the best I can.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that people, even in a friendship that is a human friendship that people have with each other, has the same and similar dynamics to a romantic friendship, a romantic relationship. So whether it's a friendship that is externalized as the humans coming together, or if it's a romantic relationship like a marriage, where people have got to learn to live together, learning to live together and learning to be friends means that you're accepting of other people as you want them to be accepting of you. And that's part of the package. Unfortunately, there are people who are very intolerant, and I'm using the word tolerant here because it is a form of arrogance, to say that everybody has to think, feel, and behave the way I want, or they're not going to be my friend. Well, that's the kind of kid who grows up never getting over the fact that it's my ball. Either you're going to play baseball the way I want it to be played, or I'm going to take my ball and bat and go home. Well, that should end after a few years, and actually that kind of behavior should end around puberty. But when a person is not puberty age anymore, now they're adults and they're still with that same attitude, it's up to you whether you're going to accept that or not. It doesn't mean that it's right or wrong or good or bad unless it's destructive to you. The rule kind of is, if something is destructive to you or to somebody else, you have to consider its value in your life. And if you care about that friendship, then there are modifications you make. Just if you care about your partner, that they are uncomfortable with something you might do or say, you want to change it for them. It doesn't mean that you're weak, nor does it mean that you're going to succumb to their control. Not at all. As a matter of fact, the beauty of a relationship is when there is cooperation, not accommodation. Accommodation is a win-lose situation. Cooperation is a win-win situation. You're willing to do things for your partner without even expecting anything in return. That sets the mood, the attitude, the ambiance for the other person to do the same. If you find that the other person is not doing the same and they're taking advantage of your goodwill, then you have to bring them to that notion that you're doing things for them but not receiving the same in return. But that also doesn't mean that it's a this for that kind of a marriage or a relationship. It means that you're having to deal with things that you're no longer willing to deal with, and certainly not using it as competition. Look at all I do for you. Can't you do something for me? It becomes a matter of, is this uncomfortable for me? And this is uncomfortable for me, so I'd like for you to consider the fact that it is uncomfortable. And if the person's not willing to change it, then you have to reevaluate what that relationship actually means to you.
Another example where communication can be a struggle. So I'm wondering, I have trouble speaking up in meetings and public speaking situations, and sometimes I stutter and my mind goes numb and my train of thought just disappears. I'm okay with one-on-one and small groups, and sometimes I have trouble speaking up and confidently to authority figures. My voice volume is so low that people always have to say, huh, what? And that really bugs me. What can I do to solve this problem?
You're probably suffering from a phobia, and it is a social phobia in which you're afraid of making mistakes, and those mistakes are embarrassments to you. And it's actually the anticipation of making a mistake, not the reality of making a mistake. It's based on your anxiety. Fear and anxiety are a little bit the same, but here's the difference. Fear is when there's something actually there that causes you to be afraid. And you're going to have the heart palpitations, the erratic breathing that could lead to dizziness, the shaking, the perspiring, the negative thinking. Anxiety is when that element isn't there, but you still have the same symptoms. So therefore, anxiety is that irrational, illogical fear. Just like speaking before a board or friends or a group of people, and what you're afraid of is the possibility that you could be asked a question that you don't know the answer to. Sometimes it's not the fear of failure, it's actually the fear of success. Because when you're successful, do you anticipate that you should know all the answers to everything? Well, today, success and actual correctness is not knowing the answers to everything, but knowing where to find the answers to everything.
Mm.
It's part of critical thinking.
Mm.
What we do in helping people reduce those anxiety symptoms is through a systematic desensitization technique, but also helping the person rethink the role that they're playing, rethink their critical thinking ability, to help them understand that their fears are irrational, which makes them anxieties, not legitimate fears. So if you're in a situation and people are happily listening to you give your evidence, your research, and the practical side of what you're doing, even if you are asked a question that you might not know the answer to, it doesn't mean that you're dumb or stupid. It just means that you're intelligent enough to now know where to go find the correct answer.
And sometimes, you know, a lack of confidence and maybe worrying so much about what other people think of you and, you know, getting yourself into the present where you just concentrate on what you need to deliver rather than what everybody else may be thinking about you. So, you know, practicing that really and just little steps, building up and getting more effective. Another one here, I can't communicate properly at home or work. I can't debate on any topic more than one or two sentences. I even can't express myself properly. I usually remain calm and imagine what I should say. How should I deal with this? And I don't feel comfortable while communicating with anybody. I try to improve myself, but all is in vain. So it's a very similar scenario, I think.
I would want to know what their history is. Has this been a long-term problem, or is this something that just happened? And in these kind of situations would also determine how much of it is psychological, how much of it may need to have medical attention. So sometimes neurological evaluations need to be done if it's something that's just recently happened. If it's a long-term process, it may be a psychological process that can be addressed as such, and learning to recondition the individual in their anticipations. So sometimes this can be a classical conditioning situation, just like Pavlov's conditioning, the classical conditioning, where the dog was salivating at the bell even when there's no meat. So if this person anticipates that communicating is going to always result in something negative, then of course they're going to hesitate to communicate. This can be easily remedied. There are very good psychological techniques to help the individual do that. And sometimes it involves the spouse or even the whole family to help expedite the process, proving that those people that you love do love you so much, they're willing to help you make the positive changes that you need to make in life.
When we come back, we're going to be looking at some relationship issues. Here we have, how do you cope with a relationship or the loss of a relationship when you still work with your ex and you are not over them? They've moved on, but you have not. We'll address that and more in just a moment.